This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan and Tyler Donaldson. Heavy rains across much of the Midwest brought improvement to drought conditions along the Mississippi River and Great Lakes regions. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor shows drought conditions expanding in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, with some spillover into eastern Colorado and western Missouri. Iowa saw a slight improvement in condition, while Minnesota and the Dakotas remained unchanged from a week ago.
Farmers were able to get some field work done ahead of this week's rains. In northwestern North Dakota, Dakota Agronomy Partners agronomy sales rep Ty Gross said farmers were able to get some fertilizer applied in the Glen Burn area.
The guys really started getting out in the field, and we got a decent amount of guys around here with their own spreaders that they were going, and then we finally were able to get our spreader going for about a day and a half, and then we got shut down by the rain. But honestly, the rain wasn't such a terrible thing. Just get the frost fully out of the ground, and I think we'll really be able to get going here probably come next week.
And that moisture was needed.
Yes, we definitely needed the moisture. And to speak on the field conditions, I mean, the ground's still pretty cold, but after that rain and once it finally starts warming up here, I think soil temps will start rising and people will really be able to get out there and get after it now.
Expect lower temperatures and some moisture through the weekend in much of the Red River Valley. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Graffenauer says we might even see a little bit of snow.
We're going to see kind of through the end of the week scattered showers or maybe even a couple snowflakes. As far as amounts, it's going to be pretty minimal, probably nothing over a tenth or quarter of an inch or anything like that. And then into the weekend and next week, things do dry out, very minimal chances for rain. If any precipitation or rain does happen, amounts, again, would be pretty low at least through next week.
Temperatures should warm back up by next week.
Through the end of the week, it will be colder. As we go into the weekend and to next week, we are expecting temperatures to rebound back into the 50s and maybe even near 60 through the weekend and into majority of next week as well.
Jamestown farmer Ryan Wanzik says this week's cold spell has others like himself eager to get started in the field.
We haven't yet, but we're probably going to here early next week, I would imagine. There's a few guys in the area that have started, but mainly just on wheat. And I think why people haven't been a little more aggressive is just the cold weather. They haven't been pushing it, and very few guys are putting much for wheat in with the economics of it right now. So they haven't gotten real aggressive in corn. It's just the ground's too cold.
Aside from the frost, Wanzik says that soil is looking good.
They've been decent, but we've been catching. So we've gotten two rain events here that have been slow soakers the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think it is. We just got one on Monday this week, or was it Tuesday? But I don't think that we could go on a lot of our land, but we could probably go west out by Medina and be able to go on some stuff if we were really wanting to push it. I would say by next week, as soon as the frost comes out completely on a lot of this stuff, we'll be able to go pretty much end-to-end, which we haven't done for 5 or 6 years, it feels like.
This is deadline week in the Minnesota legislature. The Omnibus Agriculture Finance and Policy Bill will be finalized this afternoon in the House Agriculture Committee and sent to the Ways and Means Committee. Nitrate contamination in southeastern Minnesota has dominated the committee's work this session. The Agricultural Fertilizer Research and Education Council is up for renewal this year as well. In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Chair Samantha Vang said her bill will use the AFRAC funds to address immediate needs.
In this proposal today, I decided to look at how can we look repurposing AFRAC into making sure we address the short-term immediate need for families who don't have access to clean drinking water. And
Vang says she's open to further discussion on this language when the bill goes to the conference committee.
Just because we have this proposal currently in the bill that we're going to be talking today, I don't think it'll be the final version. I think there's more. There's going to be another opportunity for us to look at how we can best utilize these ARPA funds to address the needs we have today.
And despite the smaller supplemental appropriation, Vang says she was able to fully fund the Agri Grant program.
The current draft of the Omnibus Agriculture Bill would take the interest from the $10 million grain indemnity fund and use the money for reducing debt for the farmers involved with farmers markets. House Ag Committee Chair Samantha Vang admits that is controversial language. Vang indicated the proposal needs more study and will likely be back on the table next year.
An amendment was included in the House Environment Budget Bill that would require an environmental impact statement for livestock operations with 10,000 animal units. The EIS is a lengthy process that considers the environmental and social impact of large livestock or poultry farm. At this time, there is only one farm in the state that is at that threshold. Opponents claim this rule will result in large dairy, hog, and poultry farms leaving Minnesota and relocating in neighboring states.
A bipartisan group of senators, including North Dakota Senators John Hoeven and Kevin Cramer, are asking the Environmental Protection Agency to reject a rule from the California Air Resources Board. CARB's goal is to convert the national railroad fleet to zero-emission locomotives. This concept is unavailable and untested, and the lawmakers contend it threatens the supply chain and the U.S. economy.
The Northland Potato Growers have begun a search for a new executive director. Northland Potato Growers Association's Board of Directors is seeking candidates who have a general passion for agriculture and are committed to the success of the potato industry. Interested candidates are asked to submit their application by May 15th. More information is available on the Northland Potato website. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota lawmakers face a Friday deadline to move appropriations and finance bills out of committee. Minnesota Farmers Union Government Relations Director Stu Laurie says some concerns about the attempt to use the interest from the Grain Indemnity Fund.
One would rededicate some of the interest off the grain indemnity account to a new program. So, of course, grain indemnity is a program that the state started last session. They invested $10 million in it, the largest spending item in the agriculture budget, and really a generational investment in ensuring that when grain elevators go under, that farmers aren't left holding the bag, facing financial hardship or even bankruptcy because they aren't getting paid for the grain that they delivered.
Laurie says the whole point of an indemnity is to grow interest.
You know, what we shared with the committee is let's not, you know, that was an intentional policy designed to allow that fund to grow interest. We know the budget's constrained, but let's not take that funding and dedicate it to a new program. Let's allow that program to grow as it was intended and look at other sources of funds. Similarly, there's some funds moved from fertilizer research to other soil health initiatives, which we expressed some concerns about as well, and our intention, as we have been, to continue working with chairs to reach a final deal that works for our members and farmers across the state.
North Dakota Stockmen's Association's Executive Director Julie Ellingson says members of their organization are in Washington, D.C. this week with cattlemen from across the country discussing important issues with lawmakers.
I will be here for a couple of days for the National Cattlemen's Legislative Conference. And so a lot of great opportunity to interface with our decision makers from back home, as well as federal agency executives to advance the policies and priorities of North Dakota cattlemen and women.
Disaster and risk management programs will be important conversations between cattlemen and officials.
So there's several overarching issues of importance for our organization and our producers. Of course, some disaster programs, the livestock disaster programs, and making sure that those are operating in the way that they need to, should, heaven forbid, we have to use them. We have elevated some concerns and opportunities for some adjustments to the LIP program, as well as the livestock forage program, again, to make sure that valuations are appropriate and some language that in the Life That Forage program that had rendered some that should have been eligible during some of those extreme statewide droughts that we had had recently could participate in that program.
South Dakota Cattlemen's Association President Warren Simmons says he is bringing the need for additional weather stations in South Dakota to D.C. this week during the National Cattlemen's Beef Association fly-in.
We got to get some more weather stations built. South Dakota State University has been pretty key in helping in that process, and that has to do with ensuring grasslands, ensuring grazing lands and haying lands for disaster relief. So that's another win that we want to make sure we keep winning on.
Simmons says this spring has been kind to many areas in South Dakota.
I think by and large, everything is pretty fair shape. We're getting some moisture in some key places. It was a pretty uneventful winter for a lot of the state. Places got moisture that probably weren't used to getting moisture. The snowpack wasn't as deep. Spring came a little early. The frost wasn't as deep in a lot of places, so I think the grass is going to have a good start. I think folks are going to be pretty happy with that.
Minnesota FSA Director Whitney Place is reminding dairy producers to enroll in the Dairy Margin Coverage Program before the deadline.
With the extension of the 2018 Farm Bill, we also have extended the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. And we had to rewrite some rules to accommodate for the new language, but we are in the current sign-up period here that ends on April 29th. We already have really good uptake in Minnesota. We have a lot of folks signed up, but we want to make sure that every single dairy producer who is interested in the program gets signed up by that deadline.
There have been some adjustments.
The Dairy Margin Coverage Program provides dairy producers with risk management coverage that helps pay producers when the difference between the price of milk and the cost of feed falls below a certain level. And so there are different levels of coverage that you can sign up for. One other detail is that with this new extension of the Farm Bill, FSA has provided an adjustment option for the production history for dairy operations with less than 5 million pounds of production.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The House Ways and Means Committee has approved the renewal of the Generalized Systems of Preferences trade program for ag-specific products. The bill protects the use of the generic use of common food and beverage terminology such as Parmesan and Feta. The European Union has been trying to impose restrictions on these terms based on geography. Minnesota Representative Michelle Fischbach is one of the three lawmakers who were behind the bill. The National Milk Producers Federation, National Milk Products Federation, and the Consortium for Common Food Names praised the action.
The EPA's decision to restrict use of chlorothalonil could have a lasting impact on dry bean yields. According to NDSU Extension plant pathologist Michael Vunch, losing chlorothalonil would leave other fungicides used as part of a tank mix nearly useless.
We know, and the growers know, that under high pressure, Proline and Provisol don't work well enough. Okay, they just don't. Not applied alone. The SDHI fungicides, we have lost one of them now. The other one that we know still works doesn't work very well. And so whether you apply Proline or Provisol or that remaining SDHI, the only way you get satisfactory disease management is by tank mixing it with this contact fungicide. The active ingredient is chlorothalonil.
Chlorothalonil is the ingredient that ties the mix together.
So this tank mix is protecting our existing chemistries by reducing the selection pressure on them, but in the immediate term, giving us satisfactory disease management when we get that wet weather. And we lose the chlorothalonil, we're not going to get satisfactory disease management when we get the wet weather, and then the selection pressure is going to go up a lot.
Quick look at markets. Minneapolis May wheat 5 3/4 higher. May corn futures down 3 cents at 427.5. May soybeans 13 lower at 1136.5. Live cattle June 15 cents lower. Feeder cattle May $2.15 higher. This is the Red River Farm Network.